book of Acts, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 11, which was read in your hearing. And we're going to talk very briefly on the subject of praying church. Amen.
Amen.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. You are my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I have a lot on my mind as it pertains to Restoration Temple, and I don't really want us to come to church to simply just come to church.
Amen.
I want us to be an informed body of believers. I want us to be an intelligent body of believers. That way, when someone knocks on your door with a doctrine that doesn't measure up to this book, you can duke it out.
Amen.
Amen. If you're not rooted in anything, you will fall for whatever itches your ears.
Yes.
And one of those things that helps establish that is a prayer life.
Amen.
And we get in the habit of just simply praying these little ancillary prayers, these little quick prayers, even when we pray over our food. Bless the Lord, this food jar, you just make us mindful. In Jesus' name, amen. We get up in the morning and we say, thank you, God, and we think that that's sufficient. And I want you to be an informed people, and I want to talk about the power of a praying church. And it is found in the most eloquent way in the book of Acts in the 12th chapter. So as we go into the word, let me start by saying that a preacher who isn't praying is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Amen.
And a church body that is not praying is straying.
Straying. Okay.
There's no way around that.
Amen.
If I'm not praying, I'm just going through the motions. I'm playing with y'all. If you aren't praying, you're gonna stray.
Yeah.
Come on, that's real. And the mounting problems of our society can't be solved by playing preachers and straying churches.
Right, right.
And I don't want to be labeled as a playing preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not allow Restoration to be labeled as a straying church.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So we need to challenge each other to keep the lines of communication open with the Lord. And today we examine together a powerful church. Several ingredients, virtues, practices, and characteristics go into making a powerful church. They don't have anything to do with the size of the building. Come on.
Amen.
They don't have anything to do with the size of the budget, the number of people on the roll. When we look at this passage of scripture, we're going back into ancient Babylon, and we're telling a story of a church with no building, with no budget, and a few members. Come on. Yet the members were powerful enough to take the heat out of a blazing furnace and summon the very physical presence of the Lord himself.
Okay.
You know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three members standing up can do more than 2,000 sitting down.
Well, that ain't right.
Come on, I believe if there ever was a time that the people of God need to pray, it's now.
Yes, Lord.
No, see, y'all are quiet.
Amen.
If I'm gonna pray, maybe I'm talking to somebody online because I don't feel like it's out here. If there was ever a time when the people of God need to pray, it is right now. Come on, see, I don't know what y'all come to church for, but I believe that somebody in here needs to be delivered right now and today.
Uh-huh.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
See, I challenge you. See, y'all are with me. I believe that someone needs to be delivered today. I believe someone needs to be delivered right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a prescription for this or that or the other thing. Because we need deliverance today and right now. And that is not something that the doctor can write for you.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I dare you, I challenge you. If there is something, we're going to do something a little different today. I dare you and I challenge you. If there is something in your life, don't worry about who's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you stand before the Lord, you're going to stand before him alone.
Yeah.
Amen. If there's something in your life that you need to be delivered from, I dare you to come down right now to the altar and get down on your knees and seek God.
Yeah.
The altar really should be full. I should be down there with you because we all have something that we need to be delivered from. Amen.
Yeah.
And part of that process is through prayer and petition to God Almighty himself.
Yeah,
does somebody need to be delivered today?
Yeah. Yeah.
If there anything in your life that you need to let go of,
come
on right now. I dare you, I challenge you to lay prostrate before the Lord and just ask him and seek his face for deliverance, and he will answer.
Uh-huh.
I dare you to seek him for yourself. Seek God for yourself. Get down on your knees and call on God. Come on. I'm assuming that everything is all right with everybody else. Sometimes we just have to stop what we're doing and just seek God. Sometimes we have to stop worrying about what the bulletin says and who's looking and who is booking. Sometimes we just need to come to the altar, knee bow and body bent, and seek the Lord for ourselves while he may be found. We used to sing a song that says, I will trust in the Lord until I die. But do we really believe that? We just sing it. But in order to trust him, you've got to have a prayer life.
Yes,
amen?
Amen.
I will trust in the Lord. If we can just sing that song softly, I will trust in the Lord.
Oh,
have nothing to do with buildings, they have nothing to do with budgets, and they have nothing to do with numbers.
Well,
so what constitutes a powerful church? I guess we could say that it's a Bible-believing church is powerful. I believe maybe a spirit-filled church is powerful, right?
Amen.
And we can say that a witnessing church and a tithing church, you know, is a powerful church. And these characteristics are evident, and they should be evident in a powerful church.
Amen.
We ought to believe the Bible. We ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We ought to have a strong testimony. We ought to tithe. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Somebody. But
Amen.
But there's a characteristic that outweighs all of those other things. It's important to have the other virtues and not leave them out, but no matter how many of them we exhibit, without this one thing, we will not have any power. I'm talking about prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
The characteristics of a praying church.
Mm-hmm.
A praying church, family, is a powerful church. A non-praying church is a powerless church. A church that spends time on their knees will have no problem standing on its feet when time calls.
Yeah.
Yes.
A church that spends time knee bowed and body bent has no problem to stand strong and tall when necessary.
Yeah.
A church that spends a lot of time praying together doesn't have to have a lot of congregational meetings.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Much prayer, much power,
wow.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You heard that.
Okay.
Little prayer, little
power.
One of the most profound examples of a praying church is found in this 12th chapter of Acts. The church was caught up in a period of prayer following the arrest and the subsequent jailing of their pastor, who
uh-huh.
was Simon Peter. When we look at the text, we're dealing with a very arrogant king. Very arrogant. Herod was an arrogant, arrogant ruler.
Oh, yeah.
And he ordered the arrest of the most prominent preacher in Jerusalem, and the church began to pray.
Yes, sir.
When your pastor comes under attack, y'all ought to
pray.
Don't talk about him. Don't talk about her. Pray.
Amen.
Amen, Walls.
Amen.
See, Herod had already killed James, the brother of John, and he saw that it pleased the Jews. So then he went and ordered the arrest of Peter as well. He planned to kill Peter as another example of his power over this new movement called Christianity.
Uh-huh.
But the scripture tells us that prayer was made without ceasing by the church. The Living Bible says, but the earnest prayer was going up to God from the church. See, that's the power of a praying church. Now, Peter was a political prisoner in the truest sense of the term. Herod was selfish, he was insecure, he was arrogant, and he was desperate to increase his popularity among the Jews. So he figured, if I murder some of the Christian leaders, I will be able to bolster my long-standing relationship with the Judaic community that supported me in the past. So Herod began by killing James.
Yeah.
He was a co-founder of the church. James hadn't broken any laws.
Right.
Come on. He hadn't been guilty of the slightest infraction. He just happened to be one of the leaders in the Christian movement. So Herod had him killed to please the Jewish leaders. See, beloved, sometimes the enemy is church folks. See, sometimes the enemy is folks that should know better.
Yeah.
Sometimes the enemy is sitting on the same row that you are
uh-huh.
sitting on. Sometimes the enemy meets you when you walk into the church house. Sometimes the enemy come and sit down in the pulpit with you. Sometimes the enemy is in the church house.
Yeah. Amen.
You know the ones that leave the church and talk about you.
Uh-huh.
You know the ones that come to church every so often so they can report back to the haters what's happening at 13th Street. You know them. They make a lot of noise. They use a lot of words, but they don't have a word in their belly.
Well,
you know,
fire.
Right? Herod polled the community and he found that by killing James, a less prominent leader, his ratings had gone up significantly among the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So he ordered the arrest of the senior pastor. It was Herod's intent to kill him immediately.
Yeah.
But Passover was beginning, and Herod feared that the Jews would look upon him unfavorably if he acted in haste. So he decided to wait until the celebration was over.
Yes, sir.
Come on, it's a it's a tragedy when high-ranking politicians become obsessed with polls, position, possessions, so much so that they begin to play with human life. They'll run for office and flip-flop on abortion and family values to get a vote, and then they lose, and when they come back, their church is empty. You can't play around with stuff like that. Amen, Walls. Come on.
Amen.
Herod feared that they'd look at him unfavorably. And I believe it's a sad state of affairs when an entire nation becomes numb and becomes deadened and applauds the use of human blood for popularity.
Well, yeah.
And it happened in the first century AD, and it's happening right now.
Come on now.
We are I don't want to veer off. We're being jailed simply because we're black.
Yeah.
We're being jailed simply because we drive a car that some folks feel we shouldn't be able to afford. Why are you going into that house? How did you get that house? How did you get that car? Driving while black. See, all of that stuff, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new.
Was happening in the first century church, and it's happening now.
Come on, Jesus.
So Peter was a political prisoner. His only crime was being a prominent Christian leader in Judea who proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that this story is almost amusing and humorous when we look at it from the perspective of Herod. Herod didn't know exactly what he was doing. If he did, he never would have touched Peter.
Right.
Because the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no more. Y'all ought to read the Bible some more. So you know, it's humorous to me because when we look at this, Herod took great pains to secure Peter in prison for a one-night stay.
Yeah.
Come on. Until the Passover would end, he placed 16 soldiers to guard one little dude. Come on. He knew that Peter had a reputation for being possessed by something called the Holy Spirit. So Herod heard that Peter had once sliced off the ear of a soldier. He knew that he would never back down from a fight. Yeah. So he knew God, but he didn't know him.
Amen. Amen.
So he got 16 of his finest soldiers to guard little Peter. Peter had a reputation for having a violent temper and being an escape artist. This wasn't the first time that Peter had been jailed. See, and through every time they had arrested him, they had precautions that had been put in place. And then in the morning, somebody say morning.
Morning.
They found the cell empty, they found the gates unlocked, and no escape route, and no Peter. So now here we find Peter in the temple again, preaching and teaching the word of God. And they grabbed him a second time, and they brought him to the high priest. And the priest spoke angry and mean to him. And he said, didn't we tell you to stop this preaching in the name of Jesus of Nazareth? But Peter was arrogant too, and he was a little sassy, and he said, we must obey God rather than man. In other words, Peter said to him, yeah, you told me to shut up, but I don't take orders from you. I beat my own drum, and I answer to a higher power. And you, if you had any sense, you would do the same thing too. I understood what you said when you told me to stop preaching, but I know in whom I believe, and I have been called to preach the word, and I'm for preaching in season and out of season. I see your role, I see your sepulchre, I see who you are, but I serve a God that sits high, and he looks low, and if you stay around me long enough, I'm going to preach back to you. Whatever people say to you, you keep telling the story. No matter how they treat you, how they talk about you, you tell the story. You tell the good news of Jesus. Can I get a witness? So Herod took great precautions this time to secure Peter with 16 guards.
Yeah.
They knew whom they were dealing with, but they didn't know who Peter really belonged to. He was chained to two guards. Come on, listen to this. One on his right side. One on his left side. There were two guards standing at the door of the cell, and there were 12 others waiting to relieve them in 6-hour shifts. A fresh 4 were brought in every 6 hours because Herod didn't want Peter to escape. So chained between two guards on the night of his execution in the morning, what did he do? See, we miss this when we read this passage of scripture, and over the years when I've heard it preached, all we preach about is the end part. But we miss this one little nuance. And I found, Pastor, that in the nuances of the Bible is where your deliverance really is. See, we read to see the end, but if you take time to pull this thing apart and spend some time in the Word, it's the nuances. Now, he's chained. Now, this is ridiculous to me. A one-night stay. He's chained between two guards. He's chained on one side. He's got a guard chained to him. And on the other side, he's got a chain on his hand and another guard. And what does he do? He is going to be executed in the morning. They're going to cut his head off for preaching Christ in the morning. What does Peter do? You would think he would be crying. You would think that he would be praying. But instead, the Bible says he went to sleep. Can you imagine having a faith that is so massive that it allows you to sleep when death is at your doorstep? And here we get to the heart of this passage. Everything in this passage leads up to this point. And then we have the word that but creeps into the story. And y'all know how I feel about that word but. Don't tell me you love me and then say but. Because whatever, when you say but, it cancels out everything that you have said before that. I would come, but. I would serve, but. I would give, but. I love you, but. See, when you say but, it cancels out everything. So now when this is a small, powerful conjunction, it steps up to the microphone and sends our story in a new direction. The scripture says, but prayer was going up from the church. Y'all should have shouted right there. When you say but, you can also cancel out previous debts. You can also cancel out previous concerns. Amen. Herod had Peter in jail, but the church was in prayer. Y'all ought to shout on that. Peter was chained between two guards, but the church was in prayer. There were two more guards at the door, but the church was in prayer. There were 12 on standby, but the church was in prayer. Peter had been sentenced to die in the morning, but the church was in prayer. The Jewish community had been notified of the impending death, but the church was in prayer. Someone say about the church. Somebody say about the church. See, we don't have any power because we don't pray. Come on, we don't have a voice because when we should be praying, we're not doing it. We don't have a voice because when we should be shouting, we should be silent. We don't have a voice because when we should be silent, we're shouting. But if we stay prayerful, we can move in the spirit. And when he says speak, things will happen. The only request of God that was that they had was to release Peter from prison. Somebody get with that, please. The only request they had of God that night was to return their beloved pastor. And I believe that you can hear the prayers going up to heaven. I believe that when the saints got together and they started petitioning God, in my mind, I see it like a switchboard with lights just lighting up, just lighting up to the point where God has to go over and say, what's going on over here? See, help me. I'm almost done. God listened, and no doubt he heard. I believe that he heard them praying. I believe that he heard the earnest prayer of the church. I grew up in a small church that was kind of Baptist-cockle. And I remember on Friday nights, this was even before you came. On Friday night, the doors of the church used to open at 8 o'clock at night. And they stayed open till 10 o'clock. And there wasn't a physical word being preached There was no refreshments. There was no coffee. The door was open. The lights were on. And you could go in and you would get down on your knees. We used to have a prayer rail. And the old seasoned saints, when you walked into the church, you could hear them moaning and you could hear them groaning. And they were just praying and giving prayers up to God. They were a praying church. And I believe that while Peter was locked up, the saints had gathered together. And I believe that they were moaning. I believe that they said, Lord, you shut up the mouth of the lion for Daniel. Lord, you held back the Jordan for Joshua. Lord, you opened up the Jerusalem jailhouse, and I want you to set our pastor free. And they prayed, and they prayed, and when they finished praying, they prayed some more. And when God heard the prayers of the church, see, there's power in prayer, y'all. A praying church is a powerful church. And I believe that when God heard the prayers coming down from the church, he was so moved that he had to move. See, you missed that. When you move God with your prayer, come on, somebody, when you move him with your praise, he has got to move. The power of a praying church. Are you with me? The power of a praying church dispatched angels to open up doors without a key.
Amen.
And I'm just about finished. The power of a praying church. I think y'all missed it. It's time to give God praise. The power of a praying church dispatched angels to open up doors without a key. Can I get a witness? The power of a praying church. An angel came down and entered the prison without even being noticed. The power of a praying church. He got the print to the cell. His countenance was so bright that he blinded the guards. Come on, somebody. The power of a praying church caused an angel to come down from on high and wake up Peter. The power of a praying church. At that moment, the chains fell off of Peter's hands. The power of a praying church. And they walked past frozen prison guards. The power of a praying church. The huge gates of the prison swung open in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Don't you understand that when a church prays, doors will be open? Don't you understand that when a church prays, people will be delivered? Don't you understand when a church prays, marriages will be healed? Don't you understand when a church prays, cancer will be eradicated? Don't you understand when a church prays, racism will have to flee? Don't you understand that when a church prays, that you will be released? If you are free, you are free indeed. But you've got to get together on one accord, lay down prostrate before the Lord, and seek his face, and God will move so much that he will come down and he will meet your need. The power of a praying church. Has he opened the door for you? Has he made a way out of no way? You ought to shout and tell him thank you. Come on, somebody. Outside of the prison. Uh-huh. And then he came to himself and he realized what the Lord had done. He was sleepy and he didn't realize until he was already delivered that he had been delivered. He was already delivered before he woke up. You missed it. He was already delivered when he woke up. When he came out of that thing, he was already free. See, we walking around bound up in our mind, and we've already been free. You've got to let go of some stuff. You've got to let go of some people. You've got to let go of some places and some things, because you've already been delivered, but you haven't woken up yet. So he went running to the house of prayer where the meeting was going on, and a lady answered the door. And she was shocked to see him.
Yes.
See, now that bothers me.
Yes, sir.
Why was she shocked to see him? You in there praying. You praying. You asked God for something.
Yes.
And now it's at your doorstep and you're shocked. I'm never shocked when God does something. Yeah. Because when I take something to him, I take it to him and I plead my case. And I know that if it is in his will, he will answer. I lay down prostrate before the Lord for restoration and for you. Every morning at 5 a.m. and every night at 11 p.m. I lay down flat on my belly in my private room and I pray for you. So when you come and tell me I've been healed, when you come and tell me I've been delivered, when you come and tell me I don't have the taste for alcohol anymore, well, I don't get surprised. I just tell God thank you because I already asked him for it. So when he does it, I just have to tell him thank you. So she opens the door, she sees him and she's shocked and she slams the door in his face and she runs back to tell the other ones that they, who she saw. And what did they do? They said, you must be crazy. But she persisted with the news. Some of them told her, you must have seen his angel. They just assumed that he had already been dead. And then the knocking resumed. They opened the door, and there was Peter standing in their face. And I believe in what we say our sanctified imagination. I believe that a prayer meeting that had been a prayer meeting of petition ended up with a prayer of thanksgiving. I believe they started out asking God for a miracle and ended up thanking him for a miracle. Yes. See, you missed that. They asked him for something. And then you've got to be respectful and you've got to tell God, thank you. See, a praying church is a powerful church. Come on, somebody. A praying church will get God's attention, will it not? A praying church will bring down an angel from heaven. Come on. A praying church will open jailhouse doors. A praying church will paralyze prison guards. A praying church will unlock handcuffs and make heavy chains fall to the floor. A praying church will cause your enemies to stumble. A praying church will open doors that no man can shut in your life. A praying church will build the kingdom. A praying church will uphold family values. A praying church will maintain holiness. A praying church will hear from God Almighty himself. Ah, the power of a praying church. Tell me about what you got a problem with. Let's get together as a church, as a body of believers, and whatever the concern is, we're going to lay down before the Lord. We're going to leave it right there. We're going to pray that the Lord will do it in his way and in his time. I don't want you talking about nobody. I don't want you pointing fingers at anybody, but you got dirt just like they got dirt. And it's all about concern. Dirt is dirt. There is no dirt that is dirtier than any other dirt. So we're going to stop talking about folks and what we feel is right. We're just going to take it to the Lord. We're going to leave it with him. And we're going to preach the word in season and out of season. And sooner or later, and by, when the morning comes, you will see deliverance. You will see healing. And you will see restoration. For the praying church has the power. See, you have to realize, we have to come down off of this high horse and realize that somebody prayed for you too. Come on, somebody. Don't you realize? Somebody prayed for you, they had you on your mind, they took the time and they prayed for you. Come on, somebody, when you were sacked up with somebody that wasn't your wife, your mama was praying for you. When you were out fornicating in the street, your mama was praying for you. When you were on the bar stool and you were drunk on Sunday instead of in church on Sunday morning, somebody was praying for you. When you were in sin, somebody was praying for you. When you didn't have enough sense to pray for yourself, somebody was praying for you. And now it is time for us to pray for somebody else. Somebody ought to shout, hallelujah. Shout, hallelujah. Shout and pray. It is time to pray. Because God is coming back. He is coming back to a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And we have to find ourselves. for him. You don't need to talk about your pastor. I know what's wrong with him. Pray for him. I know what's wrong with Jonah. I pray for him. Without ceasing. But the church was in prayer. We walk around complaining about how we're being treated. It's because we're not praying. We walk around feeling that we have been mistreated. It's because we're not praying.
Amen.
We might be praying individually, but we're not praying together.
Yeah.
Because you can pray all you want.
Yeah.
I ain't scared of you.
Uh-huh.
Pray all you want. I ain't scared of you.
That's right.
You grab a hold of her.
Woo.
She grab a hold of him.
Oh,
you
no.
Grab a hold of him. Woo. Y'all start praying. Open up my eyes. That's what the world does.
Yeah.
There's a one guy over there on 13th Street making noise. They ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
They never going to show up at City Hall. But they said, oh, wait a minute. There's 62 of them over there.
Uh-huh.
They all on the same page.
Yeah.
They said they're coming to the council meeting tonight.
Uh-huh.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
There is power in prayer.
Yeah.
There is power in unity.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. The power of a praying church.
Yeah.
The doors of the church are open. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the full pardon of your sins,